This is the Hidden Why podcast, episode 379 with Travis Macy. G'day gang, welcome to the Hidden Why podcast. Lee Martinuzzi here, the host of the show, the Hidden Why guy, here to inspire you to live your life with greater passion and purpose. To do that, guys, it's really, for me, all about connecting within. It's about discovering my why and using that to develop and evolve my life compass that I can use to navigate my life with great purpose towards living with more freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. I hope by the interviews that I do here and the thoughts that I share at The Hidden Why that I can inspire you to do the same, that I can give you and share with you some insight and some value that you can take away and incorporate into your own lives. Not everything may resonate with you, but for whatever you can take away that is good for the quality of your life and the improvement and the progress, then I hope it is of value. Guys, today I'm bringing you a replay episode. It's a great episode, chock-a-block full of value, so I hope you enjoy it. Just a reminder, if you do enjoy this podcast today or any of the other ones that you might be listening to, that you could do me a favor and just share it out with your family. Share the love. You can use the Twitter link, the Facebook link, whatever other social media platforms that you prefer to share good content. Use that link, and that is a great way, a great favor to share the content here at The Hidden Why. Also, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast or whatever app you're using. Just press the subscribe button. And also subscribe to my newsletter, guys. I don't bombard you with emails. I send out one newsletter a week just to remind guests or people what shows I'm bringing about. And also a couple of little insightful and inspiring thoughts in each of those emails as well. So make sure you subscribe online there at thehiddenwhy.com. Guys, if you have any thoughts for me, any questions directly for me, or any comments about the show, you can always leave your comments in the comments field for each of the shows in the show notes. And you can also reach me through Facebook and Twitter, and also my email address, thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com, which is available online at my website. Guys, that's really it from me. I hope you're having a great day. Thank you again for tuning into this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you get some value from it. If you've already listened to it, well, perhaps you'd like to listen to it again, or maybe there's another episode that you could tune into. Guys, for whatever the case, live your life as you truly desire. Keep searching for what matters. Keep searching for passion and live your life as beautifully as you can, as happily as you can. That's what it's all about for me, and I hope you can do the same as well. Thank you, guys. We'll chat in the other room. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to The Hidden Why. My name's Lee Martinuzzi, and I'm pumped and I'm excited. Today, I have Travis Macy on the line with me. I almost said Travis, Tracy. But Travis, how are you today?
Well, I'm good, Lee. I'm really excited to be here today with you and with the audience.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking the time out to come online, mate. I'm looking forward to share all your stories and all about you and certainly all about mindset with the audience. I know you can give a lot of great advice there. So Travis, in a nutshell, mate, what do you do? Tell us about yourself.
Well, I spend my time doing a few different things. One thing I read a few years ago, I don't even know who wrote it, but it kind of stuck with me. It was something to the effect of the way we spend our days is the way we spend our lives. Yeah. And, that's kind of, I think, something that I've always thought about, but have really focused on here the last few years is, trying to make the things that I do on a daily basis, be meaningful things and have things that I'm spending most of my time doing, things that I care about. So, for me, I guess in the professional sense, currently I do a few different things. I'm a professional endurance athlete. So my primary sport right now is ultra running. In the past I've done a lot of adventure racing and mountain biking. Adventure racing was the sport that brought me to your area in Australia. A few times, and really enjoyed exploring the country that way and seeing the Great Barrier Reef and paddling out in the ocean and racing down there around the Great Ocean Road. That was really neat. So anyway, I spent a lot of my time outside, training and racing, but being a so-called professional endurance athlete, it's not like you know, playing in the NFL or playing Aussie football or something like that. So you got to do other things too. So I also coach endurance athletes, so other adults, you know, locally but also internationally, who are pursuing goals in ultra running or mountain biking or multi-sport racing.
Is that through Macy College Consulting?
Great question. That's you know, my coaching website. It's just travismacy.com. Okay. So that'll, you know, that's got the info about my endurance coaching. I also do speaking and writing. So I you know, for example, I write articles for Ultra Running Magazine, where I have a column that I write primarily about mindset, because I think mindset is so essential to endurance athletics, but also to life. And I think those two things carry over. So then in addition to those things, you know, the other kind of more traditional business that I run with my wife is called Macy College Consulting. And what we do with that is work with high school or secondary students on their transition to college or whatever they choose to do after high school. So kind of, you know, as I said, a variety of different things. And I also, I'm a dad too. And that's a lot of my time on a daily basis. You know, we're very lucky to have a great 5-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter. And I'm really thankful that I've set up my life in a way that I get to spend a lot of time with him each day as well.
Got the pigeon pair, mate. Very good.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, fantastic. And there's a lot to, I guess, unpack in all of that. And I certainly want to delve into it, you know, what it means to be an endurance athlete and also that mindset piece, because I know, well, from what I understand from all of our lives and what we do, it's 80% mindset. So yeah, it'd be interesting to get your takes of that, and perhaps we can delve into the book there for the audience as well. But I just want to duck back to that quote, you know, the way we spend our days is the way we spend our lives. And I remember just seeing a video of you where you said, you know, we spend our times outdoors. We don't watch TV. And I believe you don't even have a TV. I don't know if that's still the case. But yeah, it's just certainly something that I just wanted to touch on again for the audience there, because it's pretty relevant. So do you still have a TV in the house?
No, we still don't have a TV. We, you know, I mean, I'll be totally honest. Like, we have a subscription to Netflix, which I think exists in Australia as well. So, here or there, I'll watch a little bit of Homeland or something like that. But, but it's all, you know, I guess, with our family, any TV watching we do is, you know, intentional. Okay, now, you know. All right, the kids are asleep, but, you know, let's watch, you know, 45 minutes of this TV show or something like that.
Yep.
But I think the point is doing it with intent, you know, rather than saying, oh, well, you know, I'm going to sit down here for 4 hours and just sort of, you know, watch whatever happens to come in front of me. You know, that's not really our style, I guess. It's more of trying to do it with intent and trying to, you know, I think for our family, something that's been really helpful is trying to be clear about establishing, you know, what are our priorities and what are our values and how do we define success? Because all of those things, you know, one of the things that I've sort of come to realize in life is, you know, life is sort of a choose your own adventure. You know, and you really get to choose, what are your priorities? What are your values? How do you define success? And the way that you answer those questions, that can determine, how you spend your time and what you want to do with your life.
Can certainly help direct you. Yeah. So that's interesting. And I like the fact that you're honest about watching Netflix. And I think, the point of difference there is that you're not abusing the privilege of a TV rather than you using it for entertainment and on a minimal basis, whereas the average person watches, you know, 5 hours per day of TV, which is quite wasteful, I believe, to the purpose of life. Now, how, just quickly on that, because you touched on family priorities and values, etc., how do you, because that's a really valid point, and I've done that activity with my partner, and certainly we've set some common values, so some family values. And I use them to help us direct our lives. Just recently, we've made a decision to move the whole family over to Japan. So we'll be actually doing that very, very soon. And part of our values is adventure and learning. And, you know, those two values alone, whilst we're not going over there for any great money or anything like that, we're actually doing it for that adventure and learning. And because they're our priority values, it helped make that decision, if that makes sense. So maybe you could share what it means to you, family values, and how you go about setting those with your family. Is there any techniques you might be able to share for the audience? Because it's pretty important.
Yeah. You know, as far as maybe I'll start with techniques, I think the first thing is just communication. You know, that's huge. Being intentional about communicating, you know, as we as adults in relationships, you know, I think the first thing to realize is that in any relationship, you know, a great partnership, a great marriage, even if it's great, it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take continual work and communication over time. So, you know, I think that's a good first step. And then also, you know, as children get older, involving them in the communication, you know, our kids are still pretty young. So I think a lot of the things that we do are just, you know, by way of the experience.
Yeah.
But we really do still, we overtly communicate with our kids, you know, discussing things like, you know, what's really important to our family is having time together and having, you know, as you said, having time to travel and learn about, the world that way. And, you know, these are things that we talk about openly with our kids that, you know, we value those things, you know, time together as a family and time to experience as the world. We value those more than income.
Yep.
You know, and that's why our life, you know, looks like it does. And that's, you know, that's why we live in a smaller house than a lot of the houses around us. But that's also why, you know, dad gets to be home and take you to school and, you know, and play soccer with you after school and stuff like that. So
really important. And there's a level of compromise that comes with our lives. You know, what do you take over the other, and how do you prioritize that?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. You're right. It is all compromise, because, you know, if you want to achieve something with your life, you're going to have to cut out something else, whether that's as simple as, you know, the TV example. I mean, you know, if you're watching 4 hours of TV a day, if you cut that in half and spent the other time exercising, I mean, you could literally be an elite athlete.
That's just like that. It's a lot of time.
You know, and it sounds kind of simple, and in some ways it is simple. I also recognize it's not always easy, and you know, we all have, you know, baggage and backstories and things that are going through our mind that make things hard to do at times.
Absolutely. So important, you know, to get that communication piece right. And certainly, you know, that's essential to any solid relationship, is the communication. And just on that TV point, it's probably a little bit of a segue into what you do, but, you know, TV is one of those addictions. You know, it's like anything, drugs, alcohol, TV, porn, you know, there's so many addictions out there for people to get involved with now, and TV is one of those. So I'm a big believer that, you know, it's balance, and I don't suggest no TV necessarily. Certainly I'm one that likes to watch, you know, Game of Thrones and shows like that. So there is that balance, and it's removing, I guess, that addiction or the abuse of that thing. But with your world, endurance athletes, is it addictive? Like, do you have an addiction to what you do?
Yeah, I think it is. It is addictive. And I also think that, you know, the people who, you know, who get into things like running 100 miles, you know, so-called for fun, you know, they're typically people who have addictive personalities, you know, who are motivated by, you know, pushing themselves far into things. And, you know, hopefully they have been steered into, you know, let's say running or biking or adventure racing or triathlon or whatever. You know, if they weren't doing that, I mean, they might be drinking heavily or, you know, something else like that. I mean, I know, you know, there's a long line of alcoholics in my family. You know, and that's something I've kind of known from the start, and known that, you know, well, that might possibly be part of my personality, and I should definitely pay attention to how much I'm drinking and those kind of things. But yeah, it is addictive, and it can, you know, I would say generally exercise is a positive addiction. You know, it gets you outside, it, you know, makes you feel good. It typically makes you more positive about the other areas of your life. But it can reach a negative level as well, you know, and we see that fairly often with endurance athletes where it has gone too far, or, you know, it's no longer fun, or there's negative, health ramifications, or, you know, negative, mental health ramifications, those kind of things. So, you know, I definitely, you know, I try to myself, you know, try to keep this sort of drive and desire to experience the world through endurance athletics. I try to keep that in check. And that's something I also, you know, try to work with the athletes I coach on, as well.
Yeah. And I think it's important to, you know, that's the positive addiction behind it. And I suppose, you know, that's the point of difference between a bad addiction and a good one, I guess.
Yep.
But certainly, yeah, exercise is addictive. What you do must be, because it's pretty amazing from what I've read. But tell, for the audience, I guess, I mean, it's very inspiring what you do. And I've interviewed a couple of other athletes, actually, and certainly another one that comes to mind. But it's that endurance, and it's so extreme. Like, it's just really, it's the excess of running and mountain bike riding that you do, and it's beyond what most people could fathom doing themselves. So tell us a little bit more about it. What exactly do you do, and how does it, you know, just put it into perspective, I guess, for the audience.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, you know, what I do, a little bit of background on esports. So adventure racing, as I said, you know, I spent many years doing this at the, you know, top international level. And when you do an adventure race, it's a multi-sport competition where the main sports are usually running, mountain biking, paddling, fixed ropes, you know, so ascending a fixed rope or rappelling, tyrolean traverse, things like that. You know, those are kind of the main things, but, you know, you're also navigating the entire time. So whereas in like a triathlon or a running race, you know, there's typically a marked course. These adventure races, you're using a map and compass, you know, to literally navigate around through the woods and, you know, and find your way to these checkpoints out there. And, you know, the shorter adventure races are, you know, maybe 4 to 6 hours. And then the longer ones are, you know, literally a week long nonstop racing where you're racing around the clock and not sleeping much, but, you know, sleeping some. You're budgeting your time so that, you know, you get an amount of sleep that can keep you going and keep you sharp. But balancing that against, you know, the need to keep moving even throughout the night. So it's a really dynamic sport. You know, as I said, I did a couple races in Australia, you know, in one race, I remember that it was along the Great Ocean Road area there. You know, we paddled out in those reefs and, you know, big breaking waves and surf skis and stuff. And that's, you know, that's for someone like me who comes from Colorado. I mean, I'm thousands of miles from any ocean, and, you know, you let me run up and down a mountain or, you know, ski around in the snow, I feel great. But being out in those those waves there in Australia was slightly unsettling.
Challenge your mindset in a different way. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's adventure racing. And then, you know, as I said, I progressed to right now, ultra running is my main sport. And that's, you know, traditionally, an ultra run is thought of anything that's longer than a marathon. So the, you know, most popular distances are 50K, 100K, 50-mile, and 100-mile races. Yeah. And, you know, those are, they range from, you know, almost any type of terrain. You know, there's flat races that are on pavement all the way to, you know, real steep, hilly mountain races where you're on technical trails and mountains and glaciers and that kind of stuff. And I kind of, you know, I live in the mountains. I like running in the mountains. I like, you know, going up and down hills. So that's kind of, you know, those are the kind of ones that I like to focus on.
Yeah, your body must be amazingly conditioned to it now. I did a trail run recently with some buddies and it really tested us. Like we got through, but the uphill part was just really challenging because I don't normally do any hills. So
yeah.
It was interesting to do it, but it's on a different level. So tell us, because I've seen some footage of you and you take some great videos, and certainly where you go, you get to experience some great scenery, which is, I guess, part of the thrill behind what you do. But tell us some of the more epic, the ones that you can remember, whether it's adventure racing or, you know, running, just for the audience, like some of those bigger ones. I just really want to put in perspective of how that looks and how long that looks, you know?
Yeah. You know, I've been lucky to have a lot of great experiences, as you've alluded to, you know, here in the U.S., but also around the world. You know, I did one thing that stands out to me that may be relevant to some of your listeners in Australia. I did the coast-to-coast race. It's a multi-sport race in New Zealand. So, you know, you start on one side of the South Island and you run and road bike and paddle all the way over to the other side of the island. And that one isn't, you know, I think that one's typically, I don't know, 12 to 15 hours or something for most people. So it's, you know, it's not as long and epic as some of these, but that was a really cool experience. You know, you're running up and over the middle of that race, you go over something called Goat Pass. So this real high, you know, pass along the spine of the South Island there. And, you know, it's called a trail run, but you're really not on a trail. You're just kind of running up this little drainage. It's all full of rocks and, you know, water coming down on you and stuff. And, you know, that was pretty neat. You know, one thing that stands out to me a couple years ago, I was in, Chamonix, France, you know, right there at the base of Mont Blanc. And I did a race called the Vertical Kilometer World Championship. So, this is kind of an interesting spin on trail running. The vertical kilometer race, you know, most running races are set by a certain distance, you know, so you're going to run 5K or you're going to run, you know, 50K or whatever it is. That's the distance that you cover.
Yeah.
Well, in the vertical kilometer, it's measured by the vertical gain. So, you know, from start to finish, you're going to gain one, you know, one vertical kilometer, so 1,000 meters, and it's typically accomplished in a fairly short horizontal distance. You know, so the distance that you're actually traveling, you know, is probably like 2.5 to 3 kilometers. You know, which is really not very far. You're pretty much just going straight up a steep hill. So anyway, this race in Chamonix was, you know, it was really cool. You're in this epic, you know, place at the foot of, you know, a mountain in the Alps, and there were tons of fans. You know, they were really into it. I felt like I was in the Tour de France. You know, people were ringing cowbells and that kind of stuff. And and the race course went up under a gondola. You know, like a gondola that's used for skiing in the winter. So it was really neat. I was able to, you know, I was, you know, running just all out under this gondola. And my family was able to come. So my wife and my kids and my parents were all there. And they were, you know, during the race at one point, they were going up in the gondola, you know, and they were up there and I could hear them pounding on the gondola and cheering and stuff. And, you know, it was just a really, it was a neat experience. You know, I didn't end up winning the race. You know, I did pretty well. I think I finished 7th or something. But, you know, it wasn't because I won the race. It was more of, you know, having that great experience in the mountains, but also involving my family and, you know, being able to, see, I think that we as adults, you know, when we set an example for our children of doing something that's tough, doing something that's going to require some degree of suffering and hardship, and also doing something that doesn't have a guaranteed outcome. I think that has a huge benefit to showing them that it's okay to do things in life that you're, you know, not sure about, that don't have a guarantee. I think a lot of people go through life and, you know, all they do day in and day out is things that have a guarantee. They don't take on anything that has, you know, a degree of unsureness, you know, or a degree of vulnerability to it. And I think there's a huge value in making yourself vulnerable and putting yourself out there. And as I think about it, that's, you know, that's one of the best benefits of doing these, you know, 100-mile runs and stuff, is you're going to be vulnerable. You know, you might win, you might not, you know, you might finish, you might not. And that's putting yourself out there in that way. You know, it tests yourself. You're going to learn stuff about yourself. And as a parent, I think you're setting a great example for your kids, for, you know, it's okay to fail. It's okay to, to put yourself out there and try something that you really care about.
Absolutely. I mean, your kid's best, you know, leaders and pieces of inspiration. You lead by example, and they're likely to become probably very similar to what you do as well, I'm sure. So, mate, fantastic stories, and I love the passion behind it, and certainly the purpose. I want to delve into that a little bit more, but you know, for the audience listening, I think it's an important point that what is the reason for the life that they want to live, and certainly you know, for what you do, like those experiences. I mean, they're valuable. Yeah, I mean, for some people, they dream of doing that stuff, but they keep themselves locked into that occupation or job in fear of, you know, stepping out and doing those things. But, you know, they're fantastic life experiences. And certainly when you get to the end, they're things that you're going to remember very strongly. You're not going to be remembering, you know, working in the office from 9 to 5 or something like that. So,
exactly.
You know, that's what we're sort of all about here at The Hidden Why. So tell us a little bit more about why, right? Why do you do it all? Like, what's, I mean, it sounds lovely and all that sort of stuff, but there's obviously a lot of work that goes into it, and certainly doing those races must put you through a lot of pain. What's your reason?
Yeah. You know, I thought about this interview ahead of time, I don't think I can whittle it down to any one reason.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of little reasons, you know, I mean, on a day-to-day basis, and I think probably a lot of people can relate to it, just, you know, exercising and being outside just makes me feel better.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me feel a lot more positive. It makes me feel more resilient. It makes me feel a lot less anxious. It makes me feel more present, you know, in my professional work, whether that's coaching or, you know, consulting with businesses or working with, you know, students with our college counseling business. It makes me feel more present as a, you know, as a parent and as a husband. So the day to day is big for sure. You know, it also, it allows me on a day to day basis to, you know, go outside to beautiful places, you know, and spend time, you know, typically alone with myself, out in the woods, you know, listening to my thoughts, thinking creatively, you know, checking in with what's going on in my mind, almost, you know, I haven't done a whole lot of meditation, but I think, you know, probably for many athletes or, you know, just people who exercise, you know, a similar sort of benefit of the meditation might bring as far as just a calming and peacefulness effect.
Yeah.
You know, I'll have days where, you know, especially if I'm feeling stressed or hassled or, you know, rushed about, you know, whatever it is. I mean, I go out and I exercise and literally feel like a different person, you know, when I finish.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think exercise is key for, you know, for a healthy mind, but healthy life as well, just because of the benefits that come with doing it. And that can be, you know, as extreme or as small as you wish it to be, but just exercise daily is, and especially in the morning, I think starting your day off like that is important.
Yeah, I would totally agree. So, you know, that's one of them. You know, over the years, the travel and possibility of seeing places around the country and around the world, and even, you know, here in my own state of Colorado. You know, Colorado's a pretty big state. There's, you know, there's mountains, there's deserts, there's plains, there's all kinds of cool stuff here and you know, places that I never would have gone had I not gone, you know, for a race or to, you know, explore the area on a run or a bike ride or something. So
very big reason to get out there and go traveling if you're linked to a passion such as what you've got.
Yeah. And, you know, as I kind of alluded to over the last few years, you know, kind of the parenting and possibility of setting a positive example or just, you know, kind of, engendering a lifestyle and an outlook and a resiliency that I hope that my kids can develop.
Yeah.
That's been a huge motivating factor. And that's not to say, you know, I don't care if my kids become endurance athletes or not. You know, all I want for them is to find something that they're passionate about and find some things that they believe in that they can pursue wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, I really don't care if that's endurance athletics or dancing or music or, you know, literature or underwater basket weaving. You know, I think all we can hope for our kids is that they find things that they're excited and passionate about, and, you know, make them feel happy and fulfilled.
Mm.
So that's definitely big. And then maybe the final sort of why, I guess, behind this endurance athletics is, I just really believe that there's something to be gained, or really many things to be gained, you know, for me, from being an endurance athlete, that can make me a better person in the other areas of my life. And that's kind of, you know, at the core, I think that's really where it's at. You know, I think doing this makes me a better person, a more resilient person, a more positive person, you know, generates a mindset that is better for life in general, and especially for handling the adversity that life throws at us. You know, I mean, that's one thing that you know, it's always going to happen. It'll happen to everyone. You know, life is going to surprise you with, you know, with some shit flying at you that you know, it isn't fair and isn't good, but that's part of life. There's going to be bad things that happen. And yeah. I think that by working proactively ahead of time to develop a resilient mindset, you'll be better prepared for it. You know, I kind of in my book, I call it mental training. You know, by doing some mental training ahead of time, hopefully you'll be better able to handle that adversity when it comes.
Absolutely. So that leads us nicely into your book, and I certainly want to get through a part of your book. And I believe you've got 8 core principles. So your book is called The Ultra Mindset, and Endurance Champions 8 Core Principles for Success in Business, Sports, and in Life. And I suppose what, you know, you just said yourself that, you know, that mindset and those skills and principles that you apply to endurance, adventure, racing, etc., can be transferable across different areas of your life, and certainly across faculties of life, you know. So for everyone listening, mm-hmm. I believe these points that you're going to share with us now will be very beneficial. So do you want us to take us through, and as much detail as you think is necessary, those 8 core principles?
Yeah, we can touch on at least a few of them here. And yeah, a little bit of background. I mean, this book is exactly like you said. It's, you know, each chapter includes a very specific story from, you know, my racing. And the goal with these stories is hopefully they're fun to read. Hopefully they pull in the reader, and, you know, maybe especially interesting to people who are into endurance sports. But hopefully they're interesting to other people as well.
Absolutely.
And the stories, though, they really only exist to provide intrigue and keep people reading. The kind of the meat and potatoes is the, you know, mindsets themselves. And I really do think that these are probably more applicable to life outside of endurance racing. So, you know, this is the lives that we live as parents, as you know, people in relationships, as professionals. Those are the kind of areas of life where I think this mindset sort of stuff really applies.
Absolutely.
And that's really, you know, that's who it was written for, is people who, you know, well, great if you're pursuing your own endurance athletic goals, but, you know, probably you're pursuing something else, you know, whether it's moving to Japan with your family or starting your business or, you know, trying to move up the corporate ladder. And hopefully these things apply there. So
absolutely. So don't give too much away, but do you
want to? Yeah, no, we can definitely go through a few of them. So the first one is called It's All Good Mental Training. And this is the idea that viewing your challenges as positive, essential elements of building a winning mindset makes all the difference in the world.
Okay.
So when the going gets tough, you can tell yourself, this is good mental training. And otherwise, remember that self-control can be trained just like any other muscle.
Right.
So I'm really big into stories, you know, the stories that we tell ourselves, the things that are going through our heads. And this is, you know, again, this is easier said than done, but you know, I really think it's possible to try to, you know, really form the stories that you're telling yourself, and telling yourself this story, this is good mental training. So you're going through something tough, or, you know, you're out there with your buddies, you know, making it through that uphill section of your trail run. Well, you know, that's a great time to tell yourself this is good mental training. You know, in other words, this, you know, this kind of sucks right now, but, you know, what I'm doing is making myself stronger for, you know, whether it's future runs or just resilience for, you know, some other area of life.
Yeah, really good point. And yeah, so those challenges and roadblocks and things that we experience as that adversity, we need to sort of, yeah, to switch it around and view it as a positive influence into our education, our learning, our growth.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it. Okay.
Yep. So the second mindset is called be a wannabe. And the idea between be a wannabe is to get close to people you want to be like in one way or another. And in doing so, you can make the most of something called goal contagion, or what psychologists would say, goal contagion. And that's kind of the idea that being around or being in touch with, or even just, you know, following online, reading about people who are pursuing similar goals to you can kind of help suck you along, help keep you motivated. And this could be true, you know, in a corporate setting. This can be true, you know, for me in running, you know, trying to run with people who are you know, chasing similar goals, or even just talk to them, or, you know, follow them. You know, like your example, you know, you mentioned that you're planning on moving your family to Japan to pursue learning and adventure. That, you know, that's really appealing to me, and living abroad is something that our family, you know, has seriously considered on an ongoing basis. So, you know, for me, just staying in touch with you, or, you know, hearing about, okay, what's going on, you know, with their experience, that's a great way to be a wannabe, or to make use of this goal contagion.
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, they say the surrounding yourself by the five people you wish to become, and they certainly say that the people that we are surrounded by is often likely who we are ourselves. So it's, mm-hmm. it's sort of applying those same principles, I guess. Be, you know, looking up to those mentors and, you know, sticking close to them so you can observe their behaviors and what they do. So then you can hopefully, I guess, the effects can be contagious to your life as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a key piece of this principle is to, you know, when you're communicating with other people or learning from other people, is to approach it with a so-called growth mindset.
Yes.
And they, you know, you've probably heard about this. Maybe you talked about it. You know, it's kind of a hot topic in sort of the, you know, pop psychology books that I enjoy reading. And, you know, a growth mindset is a mindset that's, simply put, focused on getting better. So, you know, the opposite of a growth mindset is a fixed mindset. And if you're in a fixed mindset, everything seems like a test of your, you know, of your inherent worth. So, you know, a school test or an IQ test is a test of, you know, how smart are you and how smart will you always be? Yeah. Or, you know, a running race is a test of, you know, how fast are you? You know, how good of an athlete are you? You know, the same could be true in a, you know, you apply for a job and you don't get the job. And in a fixed mindset, you know, the story that arises is, okay, well, that means I'm not good. Okay. That means I can't do this job. Whereas the growth mindset would say, well, this, you know, that's just where I am right now. Okay. I did one running race. You know, this was my time. All right. How do I get better from here? You know, I took the math test here. Here's my current score. All right. If I want to get better, I can. And the way this connects to, you know, this be a wannabe thing, if you're in the fixed mindset, you know, so if I'm in the fixed mindset and I think about, you know, some other guy I know who's an ultra runner and he goes out and wins a race, you know, and, you know, wins some money or, you know, has a new sponsorship or, you know, whatever, you know, in the fixed mindset, the feeling that arises in me is jealousy. You know, oh, I wish I should have won that race, or, you know, I wish I was, you know, winning the race. Those kind of, you know, feelings of jealousy. But if we view these things in a growth mindset, in a be a wannabe mindset, you know, then it's like, oh man, my buddy Jason Schlarb, you know, won this race. All right, I'm going to call him up and congratulate him, you know, sincerely, and see if I can learn something. You know, maybe I'll ask him some questions about his training or his nutrition or, you know, something like that. See if I can kind of glean some of that, you know, that forward momentum and apply it to my own life, however relevant.
Yeah, really, really important. And I suppose it's always looking for the lessons you can learn in life and ways you can grow and continually do that rather than, you know, having that fixed perspective, it sort of is very limiting, isn't it? So, yeah, cool. Be a wannabe. What's number three?
Yeah, so number three is called Find Your Carrot.
Okay.
And this is the idea that I think we have something to be gained by utilizing extrinsic motivators. These could be things like, money, utilitarian purpose, glory, admiration. Some of these things that are looked down upon at times as motivators, I think that we should use them. You know, I think that we should start with intrinsic motivation. You know, in other words, choose what you're going to do in your life based on an intrinsic motivation. You know, life is too short, and you know, you never know how short or how long it's going to be. I think it's too short to do things that you know you don't enjoy at least some degree of. So make sure you're choosing your life based on some sort of intrinsic or, you know, motivators that are for the enjoyment of it. But also don't shirk those extrinsic motivators, especially if, you know, if you're really pushing yourself, if you're really going big, you know, with your professional project, or, you know, with your family move internationally, or, you know, trying to finish this race or whatever, I say use those extrinsic things. Use those things to pull you along, especially when your self-control, you know, starts to tire, when you do get fatigued, or when you're trying to build your business, and, you know, like you said it's 2:30 a.m. right now, you know, like that's a great time to use something extrinsic. You know, it's the, you know, whatever it is, it's the boost of the podcast, or the likes on Facebook, or, you know, the potential income. I mean, all of these things, you know, they may sound trivial or trite, but I think those are great things to, you know, sort of think about when you need them, you know?
Yeah, certainly great things. I always look at those as, you know, just those little things that push you to take that next step, or push you to, you know, just keep moving a little bit more. And I guess once you're in the momentum, it's they're probably not as necessary, but sometimes important to go back to as well. So I I get it. Okay. And what's number four?
Yeah, so number four is called Have an Ego and Use It Until It's Time to Put Your Ego Aside.
Okay.
So this is, you know, two somewhat contrary principles. But the first one, have an ego and use it, really just means that accomplishing big goals requires perseverance, and that requires a high view of yourself. And so when I say have an ego, I don't mean, you know, I don't mean be like Donald Trump, for example. So that's not what I mean. But what I do mean is just have a view of yourself that's, you know, that you believe that you can accomplish whatever you put your mind to. So that's, you know, that's kind of the first piece. And I think if you're going to take on great challenges, or, you know, sort of, you know, build whatever the life is that you want to have, you know, you need to have that high view of yourself. So the second piece of it is, you know, until it's time to put your ego aside, I think just as important as it is to believe that you can accomplish whatever you want to, is recognizing that you're going to need help along the way. Right. So setting aside your ego to ask for help, to pull other people in, to recognize, you know, that you currently, you know, don't have a certain ability or a certain skill, or, you know, whatever the case might be. That's just as essential. And I think for, you know, sometimes people are kind of at one end of the spectrum, you know, maybe they're not believing in themselves as much as they should be, or, you know, someone really is believing in themselves, but they refuse to ask for help, you know, from someone who is, you know, lower in the corporate hierarchy, or, you know, something like that.
So at one point, it can be very enhancing, I suppose, the ego for, you know, your self-view and your motivation to take action and your confidence. But at a point, it can be also defeating as to, you know, how far you can go. And, yeah, looking to ask for help, I think, is always important too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. Ego is a very tricky one.
Yeah.
I'm interested
in that. Yeah, yeah. No, it is. And that's, I mean, something like, you know, I've realized over the last, you know, this book has been out for almost a year. And I mean, I wrote this book and I do not by any means have all of these things mastered. you know, there, yeah, there are things that, that we have to keep coming back to. And I think that's, you know, struggle is just part of life at times. And, you know, it's not always going to be easy, easy or breezy, you know, even if you have sort of, you know, developed a resilient mindset or, you know, mastered some strategies, I guess.
Yeah, but I guess it's the awareness piece, and you can probably, you know, directly relate them to your, you know, your what you do in life. And certainly I think awareness is probably a big part of becoming a master at what you do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And certainly, you know, there's the points that you can share. So they're all good, mate. And the next one is the what or why, which I saw a video shoot of you on the French Alps talking about this, so I'm a little bit familiar with it already.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll share this one and then I'll leave the other three up to people if they want to read the book or
jump out to get the book.
You know, something like that. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, this, so number five, it's called Think About Your Thinking, as you said, what and why. And my advice is that it can be helpful to think ahead about the specific times that you're going to think about what you're doing and other specific times that you're going to think about why you are doing it.
Mm.
So my advice is that if something is particularly detail-oriented, such as editing a professional document, maybe creating a business plan, you know, and racing if you're climbing a precipitous mountain, at those times you can think about what you are doing to increase effectiveness and avoid errors.
Right, yes.
On the other hand, when things get drawn out and challenging, you know, and this could be, you know, you're doing your marathon and you're at mile 23 and, you know, you don't know if you can make it a few more miles, or, you know, again, back to the, you know, let's say you're parenting, you know, and it's late in the afternoon, your two little kids have fallen apart and everyone's crying and, you know, the house is a mess and, you know, you're trying to, you know, you're just trying to maintain some sanity and keep everyone safe. You know, anyone who's a parent knows those kind of
things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or you know, the middle of the night, right? Your infant is waking up in the middle of the night, and they need to be, you know, fed or diaper changed or whatever. You know, these challenging moments. This is a great time to think about why you are doing it, and sometimes we get it backwards, especially those, you know, those challenging moments. I mean, you're at the, as I said, at the, you know, far into this running race, the natural thing to do is think about what you're doing, and what you're doing, you know, really isn't very enjoyable. Oh, that step really hurt. Oh, that one really hurt. Oh, that, you know, oh, I feel like I'm going to puke. You know, all of these things. That's what you're doing. Or, you know, again, waking up in the middle of the night to take care of your kids. It's not a pleasant thing to think about what you're doing. But if you think about why you're doing it, that can really get it through. You know, especially these things like parenting, you know, providing discipline and structure for children. You know, that's not always easy. But if you think about why you're doing it, okay, this is going to make a big difference, you know, for my child later on in life. And even for me, you know, later on when I have a child who's, you know, well-developed or rounded or respectful or, you know, whatever it is, if you think about those whys at those times, that can really make a big difference.
Yeah, I can. I'm just thinking about, you know, my day-to-day as well, and I can certainly, you know, picture both of those scenarios when it'd be important to think about what or the why. Yeah. Mate, well, look, thanks for sharing. I hope we didn't give too much away, and certainly want to encourage the audience to jump onto thehiddenwhy.com and have a look for that book. Otherwise, it is available directly from Amazon, places like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on Amazon and, you know, print or the ebook, or there's an audiobook too.
Audio book as well.
Like that, yep.
So I'll put all the links in the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. So guys, go out there and check that out and have a read of it. And I'm sure you'll get a lot more detail, and the stories too will be very valuable, I'm sure, in each of those specific sort of chapters. So how did you self-publish this book, mate, or did you have a publisher?
No, I had a traditional publisher. It's called DiCapo Press in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, kind of at the start, you know, when I started writing this book, I mean, an essential piece of it was really you know, making the commitment you know, to get this book out there, and I knew I wanted to do it. You know, I literally had a specific moment, and I talk more about this in the book itself. You know, when I committed, okay, I'm going to get this out there no matter what. And at that point, I didn't know, you know, maybe it's going to be self-published. Maybe it's just going to be some, you know, PDF that I post online. Maybe it will be a traditional publisher, but I was committed to getting it out there no matter what. And that's really what carried me through the entire process. And, you know, the finding a publisher and the business side of it were, you know, at least as challenging as the composition was.
Yeah, right. I like that. Commitment is, it's once you, you know, once you commit to something, it really sort of can prove to yourself how good your integrity is, like how good you stick to your word. Like when you say you're going to do something, do you do it, or do you sometimes sidestep and make excuses?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really think a true commitment is a choice to give up choice. You know, and it sounds kind of simple, and it, you know, again, it's not. And that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy along the way. But if you view a commitment as, you know, you've relinquished the other choices, that sort of makes it a little simple. You know, you just, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but you keep going until you get there.
So you do it. Very cool stuff, Travis. Thanks for sharing. And certainly I've got a few more questions I want to delve into, just to, I ask these questions for all guests on my show.
And
the first one I want to ask you is, going back to your 20-year-old self, or certainly if you want to, what advice would you give other 20-year-olds?
Oh, thanks. That's a great question. And it's also, you know, many of the students we work with in our college counseling business, you know, they're usually a little bit younger than 20, but right around that age. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm always keeping in touch with former students and those kind of things. And, you know, I think the thing I wish I would have known at 20 is that, you know, when you're at that point at the start of your adult life, you know, whether that's 18 or 20, or, you know, many students, you know, finish university at around age 22, you know, I wish I would have known at that point that you don't have to know your life plan. You don't have to have decided at that point, you know, I'm going to be X professionally, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do this, or, you know, I'm going to do that. I wish I would have kind of had more of this sense, as I talked about in the beginning of the interview, that, you know, sort of life is an adventure, and you don't know where it's going to go. And that's kind of, you know, if you view that as one of the coolest things about life, then it really can be cool. And I think especially now, you know, for, you know, today's 20-year-olds are millennials, and, you know, I think it's a lot different. You know, people in my parents' generation, you know, especially if you're a man, you finish college and it was, okay, you know, now I am a lawyer. Now I am a, you know, a teacher, a doctor, a, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, you chose that and that's what you did for the next, you know, 30, 40 years. And the world's a lot different right now. And I think that, you know, we've been empowered with the ability to create the lives that we want and move from one thing to another, or one life to another, or, you know, like you said, go live in Japan for a while. You know, these are all things that we can do. And I know that for me, when I was 20, I felt a whole lot of pressure to know, all right, exactly what I'm going to do, especially career wise. And that was a heavy weight for me at that point in time.
Yeah, it places a lot of suffering, I think, on our lives, and I can certainly remember that sort of experience. You know, we think we need to know exactly where we're going and how we should be, you know, doing it. But yeah, cool, good advice. And what is your meaning of success?
All right, meaning of success. Well, as I said before, I'm a big believer that you can define success however you want. You know, I think my current meaning of success is a living a fulfilling life with my family, where we get to spend a lot of time together and share a lot of love and value the experiences that we have and create meaningful experiences.
Yep.
So I'd say that's the, at the core, that's what comes to mind when I think of success.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, and now what can I ask is your favorite food?
Oh man, favorite food. You know, I about 6 weeks ago, I switched to a high fat, low carb diet. Okay. You know, kind of, which is a lot different. You know, the traditional endurance athlete diet is, you know, really carbohydrate based. But I've done a lot of reading, done a lot of research, and I think there's actually performance advantages to eating a high fat and low carb diet. So, you know, on a daily basis, I usually eat at least two really big salads per day. And I really like those. You know, I have lots of vegetables, usually some kind of meat, you know, adding a lot of fat into the salad through avocados and coconut oil and you know, other things like that. I really look forward to those. So
yes, I can relate.
You know, I like those. You know, there's I enjoy a lot of things. You know, I really enjoy a good IPA beer here or there. You know, I like chocolate. So I don't know if there's any one thing, but I have a lot of foods I enjoy.
That's cool. And favorite leisure activity?
You know, I mean, really, for me, many days I consider my, you know, running and biking outside in the mountains. That's like my leisure activity.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That's my time that I get to like go out and be by myself and, you know, just reflect on the world. So I really like that. And, you know, probably the other one is just, you know, traveling with the family, going new places. You know, we love traveling internationally. You know, we went to, we've been lucky to be able to combine, you know, leisure family travel with, races at times, you know, so especially if I could do a race at the beginning of the trip, but then after the race, you're all tired out and you're not training anyway. That's a great time for, you know, for family time together. So a couple years ago, we did 6 weeks in Europe,
nice.
You know, as a family, and that was awesome. You know, we look forward to, you know, other things coming up soon. We go on a lot of camping trips, you know, in the American West here, which is a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Just got to show you can live that life, you know. If adventure and travel is important, you can do it. And 6 weeks, I mean, that's fantastic time away, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah, I think you can. And it's not, you know, again, you know, you're going to have to sacrifice something.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's, you know, income or job status or, you know, it's not always easy. You know, there's always going to be some craziness preparing for a trip or getting the kids overseas and traveling on planes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's going to be a lot of challenging moments there, but you know, if something's valuable to you, if there's something that you want to do with your life, I think you can figure it out if you want to.
Yeah. It's about doing it. What's important to you and then taking that action. Hey, do you have a favorite book, Travis, that you'd like to recommend or one that you're currently reading for the audience?
You know, I'm always reading a few different things. I guess I'll mention a couple books that have made a difference to me in the last few years. One of them is called Mindset. So this is by Carol Dweck, who's a Stanford researcher, and you know, she talks about this so-called growth mindset. You know, the entire book is about it, and it has a lot of great examples from academics and, you know, how this growth mindset can empower, you know, children and students. So, but I found a lot relevant to my life as well. So that one was big. There's a book called Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. And she talks about, you know, kind of also what I alluded to earlier, that the power of vulnerability and being able to, you know, sort of put yourself out there and do things that may have some unsureness to them or to dare greatly, as she says. So,
a couple of great books. I'll stick those in the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. So, guys, jump on there, and if you can click the links to Amazon, that'd be great. It helps helps the show out, certainly. Yep. Travis, have you got a quote, mate, that you'd like to share for the audience?
What'd you say, a quote?
A quote, yeah. You had a great one at the start of the show, which I like.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm really, I like sayings. I like, you know, things that, you know, that you can tell yourself, you know, the stories that you tell yourself. You know, there's that book Daring Greatly comes from a great quote by Theodore Roosevelt. Hmm. You know, who's a significant figure from American history, and he's kind of talking about, you know, if anyone's listening, if you just Google Teddy Roosevelt Daring Greatly, or the name, it's actually a short speech. It's called The Man in the Arena, and you know, he kind of goes on about the man who's in the arena, you know, whose face is marred with dust and these kind of things. You know, that's the person who counts. You know, it's not the critic who matters. It's not people who are kind of watching from the sidelines and, you know, criticizing you or your life or your work. You know, really the glory belongs to the person who's sort of
in the ring.
In the ring, in the arena, you know, taking on life. Being vulnerable, you know, may not win, may not lose. So that one, I don't have it in front of me, but
I'll look that up as well, mate. That's and I like it. It's true. You know, it matters what you're doing. It matters about your life, and don't care so much about the critics that are surrounding you or the naysayers.
I think the speech starts with it is not the critic who counts, and I think for me the last few years, the more that I've tried to sort of define what success means for myself and for my family, the more peace of mind and the more happiness that's brought me.
Absolutely. So, Travis, one last question, and then I'll throw it over to you to share anything about yourself with the audience, direct them how to get to you. But my last question, the show's all about living life with passion and purpose. What does that mean to you, living life with passion and purpose?
All right. Living with passion and purpose. I mean, you know, really, I would say for me, very similar to, you know, that definition of success, you know, for the first thing. But I think the next thing with passion and purpose is just having, you know, probably multiple things in your life that you're truly enthusiastic about and that you can spend, you've set up your life in a way that you can spend time addressing those things that you're passionate about. So, you know, as I said, for me, the things that I'm passionate about really are, you know, family, exercise, outdoors, travel. And so for me, living a purposeful life is setting things up in a way that those are things that I can pursue.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely. And that's sort of what it's about is finding those passions. And when you do that, you live with a greater purpose. Hey, mate, look, I love the content and thank you so much for sharing. And certainly, you know, some of the outtakes of the book there for the audience. So again, encourage them to go out there and purchase a copy so they can read more and you can jump online and get the links at thehiddenwhy.com. But Travis, for the audience, how do they get in touch with you, mate? How do they reach out? What's the best channels?
Probably the best way is travismacy.com. That's my website. There's, if you click on book there, there's a free download, I think for almost a chapter of the book. If anyone wants to check that out, I also do, approximately monthly email newsletter, talking mostly about this mindset stuff, but also about racing and family and other things. So you can check out there. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at Travis Macy. So, kind of all the usual stuff. And I really, you know, one of the best things for me about writing this book has been hearing from readers. And I've just been really lucky to get a lot of emails, you know, phone calls, tweets, Facebook messages, whatever, from people who've read the book. And that's been great. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, this is probably not a book that's ever going to make me rich, but hearing from people who've read it and that it's made a difference, you know, in life or in business or, you know, in ultra running or whatever, that's been really, really fulfilling to me. So, you know, if anyone feels so inclined, I'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's part of the reward, mate. And surely, you know, helping people with their mindsets, it's a great thing to be doing. So thank you for that. So guys, jump on to thehiddenwhy.com, check out all the show notes there, the links, reach out to Travis. And Travis, again, thank you, mate, for coming on the show, taking the time to share all that is you.
No, thanks a lot, Lee. It's been really been a pleasure, and just hats off to you for doing this. You know, it's clear that you're living a life with passion and intent and purpose, and I think that's awesome. So thank you for sharing it with me.
Glad that comes across, mate. Thank you. And guys, thank you. Tune in next time. Peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Please reach out to me if you have any questions, thoughts, or feedback for the show as well. I would love to hear from you. Guys, this show is sponsored by MotionWrapped.com. If you have a brand, a business, product, event, or creative independent work that you want to promote, but you have a tight budget to do it, then MotionWrapped.com might be your solution. MotionWrapped specializes in video and motion graphics, graphic design, social marketing for independent creatives and entrepreneurs. They can cover all your product or brand's foundational needs, whether it be a logo design, a complete brand identity, the promotion of a product or event, images and videos for social media, or promotional assets via print and video. And best of all, they strategically tailor the development process to suit your budget and to suit your needs. Just because something is cheap and simple doesn't mean it still can't have great effect. And that's certainly the work that MotionWrapped does. If you'd like more information on developing an effective promotional marketing strategy for your startup or independent creative work, visit www.motionwrapped.com and discuss what can be done. That's www.motionwrapped.com. We are also sponsored by Global Office Assistance, a great outsourcing solution. So if you're, again, an entrepreneur, a creative, independent, looking to free up some of your time and outsource or delegate out a lot of those admin tasks, those systems and processes you have in place that just chew up a lot of your time that you don't necessarily need to be doing, virtual assistants are a great way to do that. I've just written a book about this as well, called Delegate to Freedom. So if you're interested, I'm happy to send you a copy for free. Just email me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. But more importantly, if you're interested or have thought about hiring someone to help you in your business, virtual assistants are a very affordable way to do that. Our team is based in the Philippines, so you can get a great assistant for a very affordable price, and their work quality is just as good as anyone else that you could otherwise hire. So check it out, globaloffice.com. That's globaloffice.com. You can set up a time to consult with them and they can discuss your needs further and see if it's a fit for you. Guys, that's it from me here at The Hidden Why. I hope you enjoy your day. I hope you enjoy your week. And until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. We'll see you soon.